if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. As I said earlier, our last message in the Sermon on the Mount, as we finish it up. I know it's kind of sad, but what a great message. What a great preacher in that Christ himself, not this one, okay, just for the record, but Christ himself preached this message, and to be able to have the privilege of preaching what my Lord preached, I tell you, it's been very humbling. I told you last week, I've wrestled more with the last couple lessons in this great sermon than any other that I've ever preached, just the Lord. And we need to, today again, as we go to the Word, we need to wrestle with it individually. Each and every one of us need to see where we are when this message and where it finds us. And so I want us, if you will, stand to your feet. We'll reverence God's Word. We'll Matthew chapter 7. We'll read God's Word, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. I'm still tore up from the song. Well, let me get myself in line here. It says, the Word of God says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and then beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let's pray. Father, for just a few moments, I pray you'll hide me behind the cross. May this message find each and every one of us exactly where it is that you're wanting to touch us and touch our hearts. Lord, if there's somebody here that's not sure of their salvation, do not let them leave until they make it right this very morning. And so we thank you and we offer this over to you. It's all yours in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Well, we've been preaching this sermon since July of last year. As we finish it up, just the idea, I know it's amazing, isn't it, but I hope that you've seen the gist. When we preach expositionally, we go with the Scripture, we look at it, we don't just pick and choose, but we go with God's Word, and each week you build upon it, and you see this entire message in the way that it was meant to be preached. And so this morning, the title of this message is Storm Warning. We all know what that is, right? Especially winter storm warning, right? That's what, go to the grocery store and get bread and milk is what that means, right? But storm warning comes into our life. I want us to keep that idea as we go into this message. And I want us to think about, as we come to this final message in this series, Proverbs 24:3 says, through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. Now, if I asked you, if I came and asked you about the house that you lived in, describe your house. I just want to think about that question. If I came to you and I said, oh, tell me about your house, you would probably say about where it is, its location. You would probably talk about how many bedrooms it had, or maybe how many bathrooms it had. The women, praise God for women, they decorate our house. If it was men decorated their house, it would be a pretty ugly house. It would be just right, man cave. That's what it would be, with deer heads and old cans and all kinds of stuff, and old food wrappers and plenty of room. Yeah, the women decorate it so nicely. Thank you, women, for being that. God made you that way. We would talk about maybe the decorations. We would even maybe talk about history as well, more somebody maybe where you used to live, or it could be that it was inherited, passed down from your past. And so we would describe, listen, I don't think that any of us would describe the foundation. Let me tell you about my foundation. And yet, we're going to see as we get into this lesson that it's the foundation of the house that Jesus says is the most important thing. And yet, it's something that's overlooked. Why? Because it's not seen. And yet, it's very, very foundational. Oh, I thought you'd like that. Boom, boom, right. Thank you. Why? Why is it so important? Because it determines if the house stands or falls. And so I want us to keep that in mind. And of course, this parable is not about building houses, but it's about building lives and And we're going to see that today. And let's look at these final words of this great message. And I want us to look at three principles this morning in our idea of storm warning. And first, I want you to see that the Scripture says, build your house on the rock. Look at verses 24 and 25. And it says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Jesus tells this parable, this last parable, and he's been speaking to this as we got into chapter 7. And really starting in verse 13, he's showing these two different paths. We're going to see two builders, two houses, two foundations. And so he's really narrowing it down as he's been doing over the last few messages of separating the two. There's two people in this room today, lost or saved. Okay? That's it. And so he's dividing the line and he's showing us these foundations. He's going to show us two builders. He's going to show us two houses. And he's wanting us to come face to face and say, which one is yours? That's what I've been doing and wrestling with. And making sure that our foundation is founded on the Jesus Christ. And you have to get it out of your system. My faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. For those of you that sing when you get something in your mind, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is what? Sinking sand. We could see where they get a lot of these old hymnals, good songs. And now remember, Jesus was a carpenter's son, okay? He was a carpenter's son. If he worked today, he'd be wall-to-wall builders, right? Wouldn't he? Wall-to-wall? Jesus. No, probably he had Joseph and sons, right? But he grew up a carpenter's son. He grew up understanding about construction and building and all these things. And so, you know what I love about our Savior is he can take something that was written centuries ago, but it's applicable today. That we can grasp what he's talking about. And so this great crowd that was on the mountain, they understood exactly where he was coming from in this parable that he was speaking to us about. He knew the importance of a foundation. But I want you to know something. Jesus didn't come to build houses. He came to build a kingdom, one life at a time. And that's what he's getting at and the importance of it. And he'll use common everyday thing for us to grasp a hold of that we can grasp right here in 2016 and today leave here knowing exactly what our Savior meant when he preached this sermon on that mount a long time ago. I hope that when we get to heaven, we get to play I would say VCR, but that's dating myself, right? I don't know, how can we go back and look at these things and experience them and there? I hope that we get to see. I'd love to have been in this crowd and saw him preaching this message and heard the power that went forth. And he makes a statement. He says, therefore, right at the beginning in verse 24. Therefore, when you see therefore, you need to see, ask yourself, what is it there for, okay? Therefore means he's going back over. He's finishing up this sermon, and he's talking about all the principles that he's taught us on this great Sermon on the Mount. He started out with those Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He said, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. All these things, and then he built upon it the whole way. This is not just a take it out of context, but he's saying these things. Therefore, when you've heard these things, when you apply them to your life, when you're a child of God, he's saying, listen, I like it, and he encompasses the whole Sermon on the Mount. He's pulling it all together, and he's teaching us how much bearing does it have on our lives. We have to ask ourselves that this morning. How much bearing does the teaching of Jesus have on our lives this morning? And then he makes a statement. I love the next words, whoever. Whoever means everyone. He intended for all people, for all times. And then as we get into that, I want us to think about it as I wrote on the screen. There are some big questions in life that man has been asking since the dawn of civilization. These are the big questions. Where do we come from? Who are we? Where are we going? Man has asked that in his vast knowledge. He's tried to figure it out. He's turning towards the stars. Oh, there's extraterrestrials, and they came, and that's where we come from. Or how about this? We come from monkeys. This ooze just all of a sudden come to life, and we pulled up out of the ooze, and next thing we were walking. It takes more faith to believe that than in the beginning, God. But yet, we don't want that. As man, in his vast knowledge, he can't grasp that because if in the beginning God, then that means he's our creator, we're his created. And that means we have to answer to his standards and principles. We don't like that because we're too smart for that. And so that's because it's a little free word called sin. Sin enters the picture, and so we try to figure it all out in our vast knowledge. I want you to know that Jesus answers all these questions. Where do we come from? God created us. Who are we? We're children of God or children of Satan. Either we're children of obedience or children of disobedience. Where are we going? Well, that decides on which child you are. And he's answering these big questions. And then he goes on to say, anyone or whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. You know what he's saying? Build your life on me. The rock is him. It's his words. Build on his words is what he's saying. Something I want us to think about this morning, if he says to build on his word, then we need to be where we hear his word, do we not? If that's the important thing, and Jesus said this is the foundation you need to build on, then we need to be where we hear the word of God. We need to read it at home. We come here on Sunday morning and gather together. Guess what? Not just now, but Sunday school, too. We need to hear and learn. We come on Sunday nights. We come on Wednesday nights. We need to be students of this word. That's the whole purpose. It's not that we just meet to get together and have a good time, although we do. But it's we come together to learn, be students of God's word. And there's something that, because he's saying, build on these things, and we need to be, and we need to create an environment of hearing God's word. Is that an environment in your life? Now, some people, that sounds pretty boring. That's just boring. Oh, I'll come on Sunday morning and get me a fix, but you know what? I'm too busy. Kids are playing sports. I just don't have time for that. That's kind of your foundation. You're seeing, you're starting to see what's the most important thing. And you're teaching your children, by the way, what's the most important thing. Jesus said, build upon me. We've got to be where we can hear and where we can come together. This is not just a gathering that we can feel good, but we can come together, we can fellowship together, we draw strength from one another that we can go out and represent Christ wherever he puts us. He said, build upon this. Build upon my words. He's bringing it down to them where they can understand. You know what? When we say those, it takes too much time, or we think that we have just this such vast knowledge of Christ that we don't have to come. We don't have to study. We've got just enough Christ that's all we need. You know what that sounds like? An inoculation, does it not? We get the flu shots. We have them here every year, and some people say, oh, they give me the flu every time. But a flu shot is a little bit of the flu, is it not? And it goes into your body, and your body learns to build up immunities to it. I'm afraid that we have just enough religion that we build up an immunity to the real thing, and we can preach and like a wild man, and it just bounces off. And he's not talking about us. He's talking about these other heathens. I'm serious. And this is me. Look, when I'm wrestling with this, I'm studying this like, God, and I'm trying to glean and pull, and I'm thinking about preaching, and I'm thinking, dear Lord, this applies to my own life. And if it doesn't burn a hole in me, what good is it to come and give it to you? This is not getting up in heaven. We're not going to the opera. So you can be entertained. Are you entertained? I hope not. That's not what we come for. We come to hear from God's word. We come to let it penetrate our life and to change us. Lord, if that's all it does is if we just hear it, we go out, and that's a good sermon, but it doesn't do anything outside the door, that's all it is entertainment. Is it not, Lee? Just entertainment. It's no good if it's not applied. Jesus is letting us know, man, it's about, we don't want to get immune to the things of God. We want to grow in it. We have to be the student of the Word. We have to be hearers and doers and listeners. You know, if you're married or you have teenage kids, you know the difference between hearing and listening, don't you? Uh-huh. Say to yourself, did you hear me? What was that, huh? Well, we're all guilty if we're not careful, or we think that our kids are not hearing a thing. Did you hear what I told you? How many times do you think God says that to us? Did you hear what I told you? Why is it that you're struggling in these same areas over and over and over again? The best listeners ask questions. They want want more explanation. They want to understand these things. But I love it. It doesn't stop for just hearing what he says and does them. He says, not they hear my words and does them. They work. They put it into action. We must act upon his word. And then Jesus said, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, building on the firm foundation, standing on the rock of ages. He said, I liken to him, he's a wise man when he hears what I say, when he hears what I've said and he puts that to practice and he puts it into his life. I liken him into a wise man. He's a wise person. Do you want to be wise? Follow what Jesus said. Taught you. Not just hear it, but do it and live it out. Jesus is talking and he's speaking of making a commitment to obey his word. Listen, how many of us can look at the world that you live in, the United States of America that you live in, and say, man, we need to make a commitment to God, living God's word. Donnie in Sunday school today was preaching about desiring, you know, people desiring, the Pharisees desiring to see a sign, and how Jesus said, you're not going to be wicked and perverse generation needs a sign. The signs are all around us, okay? We need to be the Christians God's called us to be. The answer will not come from the White House, but from the church house. And when God's people start living as he's called us to live, it will make a difference in our country. You see, I don't understand, if we're all saved and we're all right with God, why are we not making a difference? Why are we not going out, inviting people constantly in to come with us into fellowship? You see, it's almost like the frog in the kettle as the heat's turned up. It's just we're sitting there boiling, and we're thinking we're all right, but our lives play out. Are we really all right? And that's what he's getting at here on this sermon. He's bringing it down because the Pharisees and the scribes had made it a religion that didn't look anything out like true Christianity. I'm wondering today, is that what God is saying to us? Have we made a relationship into a religion? Just going through the motions and not letting it change us and making us into what God's called us to be? Are we seeking to obey his word? Keep on obeying if you are. I'm going to tell you, there's some days when all you can do is count on that foundation. You ever been there? It's all that's left. All the props will be knocked out sometimes, and the only thing you have is that foundation. Because I want you to see, it says in verse 25, storm warning, storms are coming. Listen to what he says. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Look, storm warning, rain, flood, wind, slam the house, beat on the house. It's not always sunny days. In fact, that's called a desert, is it not? If it's always sunny days, it'd be a desert. It's not always sunny days in our life. We'll go through valleys that we never imagined. We'll face things in our Christian walk, in our Christian homes, in our Christian churches. We'll face things that we never thought that would ever come, and yet we go through those storms for a purpose. The foundation holds. It doesn't shift. Everything else may be shifting, but the foundation holds. Jesus doesn't pull any punches, does he? Foundation remains. Oh, man, there might be some dents. There might be some windows knocked out, right? It might be a few, it looks like the house has been through it, but you know what? The foundation holds. It cannot be moved. Why? Because it's built on Christ. And the scripture says in Romans, nothing can snatch you from his hand. You find strength in that, but you've got to make sure you're in his hand. Because if you're there, nothing can snatch it. But if you're not there thinking that you are, everything in the world can snatch you, okay? And you'll teeter-totter back and forth. And you'll be like the winds. So you're up and down. You ever seen that? I'm serious. That's what our Christian life, if our Christian life looks like that, something's wrong. Because the scripture says we can find joy in the midst of the storm. Okay? He don't say we're not going to face the storms or go through the storms, but we can find joy in it. Why? Because he's in it with us. He's going through it with us. And we can find that joy. He doesn't say if the storms come, but he says, and when the storms came. Storm warnings. Storms are coming. There's some consequences to sin, if you choose to sin, consequences. Some is discipline. He allows the storm to come in to discipline us and make us more in Christ's image. Some are because we live in a fallen world. You live in a fallen world. You ever get sick of the fallen world you live in? Some of the storms come from that. Some of them are physical. Cancer, we hear the C word, cancer. One out of four, look around, one out of four will be diagnosed with cancer. Cancer comes, storms come, physical things come. The loss of loved ones, how many have I stood over right here in this church? The loss of loved ones, storms come. Don't forget we're getting older. I think I like what Wendell says. I don't know if it's your quote or not. This getting old is not for sissies. Something aching all the time, right? It's like, is it going to rain? You're getting old. It's part of the storms of life. We're growing old. It's God's way of reminding us, but we're not here forever, okay? And we're not. So we can't live like we're going to be here forever. This is transitional, by the way. This is not our home. We're in a transitional place. And then we'll have spiritual storms. You ever went through a spiritual storm where you pray and pray and heaven seems brass? And you're like, I can't get a hold of God. Oh, like you said in Sunday school, oh, I can't feel Him. I can't feel Him. Guess what? You don't rely on your feelings. That will fool you, but you rely on the promises that He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Even when you can't feel Him, He's there. And heaven sometimes seems so brass, and He seems so far away. Spiritual storms come. He's still there, though, because we rest on the foundation, the promise of His Word. It's a great, greatest analogy of the storm that will come in your life, like we've already spoken about, is death. Death. Ooh, we don't like to talk about that one, do we? We don't like to talk or think about death, but one out of one of us, you want another statistic, everybody's going to die. Sooner or later, if the Lord tarries, I'll listen for the trumpet. But if the trumpet doesn't sound, I'll come up through the ground. One of the way. Either way, death is our final storm. And listen, you've got to come face to face with that one. Because we all face it. And that's what He's getting at here. And that final storm that blows and it comes into our life, you know what? When it's founded on the foundation, it stands. Why? Christ made a way through the grave. He came and He walked this earth for you and I. Perfect and sinless Son of God. And what happened? Put to death on a cross for you and for me. Died a perfect man. Never did anything wrong. But because of that sacrifice, He died and they planted Him in the ground. The third day He arose that everybody that believes on Him should have everlasting life and not perish. The final storm will be death. But when we base it on the cross and the foundation of Christ, we even overcome death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? We don't have to fear it any longer. Why? Because the stinger's been took out of it. It can buzz around all it wants to, but it cannot touch you. Why? Because Christ took our death. Does that mean we're going to die? But it's just the door. Because absent from the body is present with the Lord, is what the Scripture says. We walk right into the face of glory. So this final storm, He's trying to bring it all in for them. Storm warnings, letting them know. Build on the rock. Building on the rock is the best storm insurance you can get, okay? Storms come. Is your life founded on Jesus? Here's the deal. There's some indicators if it is. If it's founded on Jesus, are you growing as a disciple in Him? Are you growing? Or do you just have fire insurance? There's a big difference. When you're His child, you're going to grow. You're going to be discipled. You're going to be a disciple of Him from now on. We don't just rest on our leaves. We don't just get satisfied with where we're at. But we're growing in Him. Storm warning. He's saying, look at your life. Don't just be complacent. Don't just be satisfied. You might be the one that's building on the other that we're getting ready to see, because I want you to look at the second. Destroy your life in the sand, verse 26 and 27. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and bit on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Look, there's another option here. He gives it to the choice, everyone again. Everyone has that choice. Again, we all hear. We all hear. We all come, and we all hear. But what's the difference? And does what it says. This person does not. In fact, he says, well, he'll be like a foolish man. That word foolish we get is the word moros. Do I need to explain where we get our word from? Moron. He's a moron. He's an idiot. He builds his house on the sand. Why would he do such a thing? Gets in a hurry. Sand looks good. Looking flat. It's flat. Man, look at that. We could build in a hurry. I want it now. I want it now. I want it quickly. Is that your life? And this is that idea, that man that wants it quick. He don't care about the storms. He's not thinking ahead about the storms that are coming in all of our life, but he just wants to build the house. I want you to know something. When you build on the philosophies of this world, they give you a little litmus test this morning. Where do you stand on the same-sex agenda this morning? Where do you stand on that? What the Bible says. Where do you find, oh, I just believe. No, where does the Word of God say? Philosophies of the world. Or, it's a woman's choice. Oh, we're digging now. You're really meddling. It's a woman's choice. Is that your philosophy? It doesn't come from Scripture. Where's your philosophies come from? Where do you make your decisions? That tells you who you are and what you built your foundation on. The philosophies of this world. Standards of the world. Storms coming. Storm warning. Storms coming. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and great was its fall. Unbeliever, when the storm of life comes, death comes, you will spend eternity in hell separated from God because you built your house on the sand and the philosophies of the world. And not on the rock. That's about as blunt as you can put it. That's the Word of God. That's not a man's opinion. That ain't what I'm thinking. That's what the Word of God says. When we build on the sandy ground, it doesn't stand. I want us to think about, just a minute. We don't build the foundation when the storms come, do we? You guys that are carpenters, do you wait till the storms are coming and the rains are falling? You don't dig a foundation then, do you? You wait till the good sunny days and you dig a firm place to put your house. So it ain't like I can wait till the storm comes and then build the house, especially when we're talking about death. A lot of us think, I'm going to ride this out and do what I want to do, but I want to get it right one of these days. And you're a lost person if you're thinking that this morning, by the way. I just want you to know, by the authority of God's Word, you're a lost person if you're thinking, well, I'll get things right later on. I believe in Jesus and all that, but I'm just not as fanatical as that pastor is. Your plans is to put it off, you'll never get there. Receive Christ when the Spirit's knocking. Listen to what he said. It's tough to live in this world today, by the way, young people. And you go to school, and when you live on the foundation of Christ, and they're making fun of you, and poking and making, can't believe that you do and still believe in that antiquated, outdated old book. You'll get made fun of and poked at and pointed at, but let me tell you, none of it's worth standing in front of God one day and have to give an account when you turned your back on him and said, you know what, I got made fun of it, so I just had to fit in. It's not easy to walk the narrow way. And I want you to think about these two houses, these two builders. Even these two storms, they look very similar, don't they? If you looked at it, you looked at the house and you'd say, man, and they'd be almost identical. And it looks like because of the storms, maybe they're even building a pretty close location. And so from the outside, they look good. Everything looks like it's in line. And it's not till the storm that it really is identified, is it? I want you to know you can come to church. You can rub shoulders. You can do all these things. And if you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, it's called lostness. Storms are coming. Storm warning. Storm warning. What is it that we're counting on? What's the difference? They both heard the words of Jesus, but one built on them and one didn't. When the kids were little, we used to have little kids, didn't we? They've grown up now. That's what happens. When they were little, we'd go to the beach. That's what we thought vacation was, the beach. You might be very similar to that. It's okay. Nothing wrong with going to the beach. But there's a lot of sand down there, aren't there? A lot of sand. Gets in everything. But it didn't matter what year it was when they were little. We'd call it Sandcastle 2002. Sometime during that week, we'd spend hours. You know what we'd do? We'd get down there with the kids and we'd build these big, huge sandcastles. You know, you get them big buckets and you fill them up and you'd make this huge thing and make it look good. And then we'd take seashells and write 2002 and we'd take pictures of those sandcastles that we built with the kids. I'm thankful for that. It's great memories. But we'd build big moats around it. We'd make these great big old walls of sand and we was protecting our castle. You know what happened? Sand, the tide came in. Never failed. It didn't matter how big a moat you made. It wiped that sandcastle out. And all we had was memories and pictures of what it used to be. If you're building your foundation on anything, my friend, besides Jesus Christ, you're building it on sand. You can build all the protection you want to try to, but the tides will come in. And it'll wipe it away. And all you'll have is a memory and an eternity in hell to sit there and say, storm warning, storm warning, storm warning. I don't know about you, but that's enough for me to thank God, help me. Lord, let me make sure that I'm right this morning. Don't let me be building on anything but the foundation of Christ. And here's the as you study this out, and it blew my mind. That's how it ends. It just ends with him saying, and great was its fall. Look, the wind blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. That's the last words Jesus gives them. Did he just stand up and walk off? And great was its fall. Boom. Now, he's not encouraging. He's not saying, Lord, Jesus, just give us an encouraging word. He said, and great was its fall. He said, listen to me. He just walks off. No soft music playing. No invitation. He just walks off and leaves away. I thought about doing that this morning. That's what he did. He just, and great was his fall, and leaves it. I want us to look at the last reaction of the crowd. Look at verse 28-29. The reaction of the crowd tells us a lot. And so it was when Jesus has ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The crowd was impressed with what and how Jesus had taught. They were impressed. Why? Because he taught as one as authority. Imagine that. He's God. He has authority over everything. He didn't have to say like the prophets of old, thus says the Lord. Why? He was the Lord. And they were overwhelmed. They couldn't believe his teaching and how he taught. And just for the record, being impressed with Jesus is not enough. They were impressed. Oh, they're astonished. Great is his word. Oh, that's a great, that was a great sermon, preacher. Being impressed is not enough. And you know what? Matthew doesn't record any conversion. I don't see it anywhere, do it. No conversion. Probably this is the same way it'll be like this morning. Nothing new under the sun. No conversions. Nobody brave enough to make a commitment. God himself preaching. What Matthew wants us to get this morning is believe in Christ. Believe in Christ. Not just hear Christ. Know it by the word saying it. But live it. Build your life on that foundation. Allow it to be seen. I don't understand people that say I love Jesus and don't want to spend time with his people. I'm too busy. I got too much to do. Yada, 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 yada. How in the world does that work? When we see so much more, as we see the day approaching, we've got to put the things of the world behind and put the things of God and us coming together and learning. Quit buying into the world's philosophy of what's important, What is important in God's Word? What does God say is important? You know what he's saying? Draw a line on the rock, not in the sand. Okay, we don't have a problem. It's my line. It's where I stand. Draw a line on the rock. Build it. Your life on Christ. I just wonder if there's anybody this morning that would say, I'm willing to come under authority of Jesus Christ. You know what? I've been living like the world too long. I need Christ. I need to make sure today, if you're one of them people saying, I sure hope so, nah, bad, wrong answer. The Bible says that you may know. If you're hoping so, then what are you basing your hope and so on? There's only one thing we base, and that's relationship with Jesus Christ. And has he changed you? Not just saying, well, I prayed a prayer, I went down to Bible school, I did whatever. Did it change your life? Did it make a difference? Did the creator of the whole universe come to dwell within you? It will make a difference. It will change you. If it's not changed you, are you saved? Are you still living by the standard of the world? Are you living in sin and not convicted over it? Something's wrong if you are. You just have fire insurance. Oh, I'm all right. I won't go to hell because I received Christ. Listen, if it isn't enough to change your life, it's not enough to keep you from spending eternity separated from God, okay? It's going to change you. It's going to make a difference. Applications and we'll be done. Linda, come on and start praying. What is your worldview this morning? I touched on that. And say, well, wait a minute, preacher. What is your worldview? Where are you standing on the things of the world? That's an indicator of your heart with Christ. Okay, that's about as plain as I can put it. It doesn't line up with this. Not what I say this says, but what this says. Then your worldview is based on a sandy foundation. And the storm's coming. Storm warning is coming. Where do you stand? What's your worldview this morning? Do you understand when the storms come that your foundation will hold? Do you understand that you're built on that rock and nothing's going to move you? That Christ is what you've built your entire life on. Not because mom and daddy, grandma and grandpa, and you just got this heritage of a church and that makes you right. Oh, I come to church once a month or every now and then and I've got this relationship, but it's not making a difference in you whatsoever. Are you sure you got the foundation? What? Lastly, what's your decision this morning? Nobody's leaving here without making a decision. You realize that? You can drown me out, put me out, whatever you do, but when you leave here, you've made your decision. Period. What is your decision this morning? See, I had to get down with God and wrestle around in my study as I went through this. And the last couple has just been, Lord, please don't let me be convincing myself of something. Listen, I did that. Don't let me be convincing myself of because I'm a pastor. Or whatever. That doesn't have, being a pastor does not make me right with God, okay? Does everybody hear that? It's a relationship with Jesus Christ, and the only reason I'm standing here today being your pastor is because He saved me and He's still working on me, okay? He's got a long way to go. A long way to go. There's sin, and I struggle with sin just like everybody else, but listen, I know one thing. When He changed me February 28, 1990, the chains even looked different. Dear Lord, I didn't hang out with the same group. I tried, but God said, no, you don't fit here anymore. When I put my hand to a beer, and Tyler Budweiser, never forget, the Spirit of God said, what are you doing? You don't do that anymore. Look around. I looked around. You don't fit in this crowd no more, son. He can save me, an old redneck that did everything he had to do. Can he not save anybody? But you got to know that he made a difference in your life. If he ain't me, he ain't changed you. Are you basing your foundation on the rock? Or is it on the sand? Storms is coming. Let's stand on our feet. Storm warning. Storm's coming. I promise you this, the storm will determine. You don't want to wait till the storm. Build your foundation. One of these days they're going to roll you right down one of these aisles. You're going to be sitting right here. Right here. What are they going to say about you? Oh, he was a good deer hunter. He loved the Tar Heels. Is that what somebody you want them to say about you on her deathbed? Is it? Oh, she did all this or he done that or whatever. I want them to say he served a great Savior. You know, that's the only thing we can brag about today is he loved Jesus and Jesus loved him. Because we will make that trip. Storms are coming. Storm warning this morning. What is it God said to your life? Brittany's going to sing. I ain't going to tarry long. Like I said, I almost decided I was just going to walk like Jesus did. I really believe somebody's wrestling with it. I think it have been for a while, just to be honest with you. I've said this. Do not walk out of here lost. Do not. You know that you're saved when you leave here. If you're not, don't leave these doors. Why? Because the Spirit of God is saying, come. Come. Storm warning. Know that you have that relationship with Him. As soon as she starts singing, if you need to do business with God, there's sin in your life, you need to come up here, get it right with God, do it. If you're lost, come see me. We'll talk about it. Go ahead, Brittany.
Just as I
coming through. Do not neglect the Spirit of God. Be clear. What about you? Wouldn't that be something? Leave here, have to face eternity and say, God, say, why didn't you listen? I was pulling you. I was tugging you. Your heart was beating. You was trying to figure it out on your own. Quit trying to figure it out. Just give it to the Lord. He'll get everything else right. You can't make it fit. He didn't make it fit. Don't leave here lost. Don't leave here with sin in your life.
Just as I am, the toss about with many a conflict, many a doubt, findings within and fears without, oh well, of God I come.
Okay, here we are. Are you right with the Lord? Is everything right? Make sure it is. Are you holding? Somebody here got bitterness in their heart towards a situation or somebody. Don't leave here like that. If there are people, family members you haven't spoke to, don't be proud of that. It's not their fault. The Scripture says when you know that your brother has all of your heart, you go to him. That's what it says. Are there anything that would keep you from being right with God? Do you know you have Christ because storms are coming? You're going to keep making excuses about laying in the bed on Sunday morning? You don't have no problem getting up on Monday morning to go to work? Or how about go be at the deer stand before daylight? You don't have no trouble with that. What is it God's saying to your life? He's speaking today, okay? What is it He wants? Listen, if coming forward is something you just couldn't do, make sure and talk to me after church. Love to talk to you. Love to make sure that you've got it right with the Lord. So just let me know. Let me know. Thank you, Lynn. Night, 6 o'clock, brotherhood, women, got kids singing, something for everybody. No excuse. No excuse for us is to stay at home. That's what I'm saying. You need to start looking at your life and say, I'm not, here's the deal, I'm not being legalistic whatsoever. I just believe if you're right with the Lord, you want to be with His people as much as possible. I just do that. I did that before I was a pastor, just for the record, and I still do it till they have more, all right? If I didn't show up, you'd have a hard time with it. Same standard for the pew as the pulpit. Lady closes in prayer.